This webcast is made possible by the listener members of the Classical Network and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support. Jacobs Music Company is the proud sponsor of Between the Keys with Jed Distler. Information on any of the products or services that Jacobs Music offers is available on their website, www.jacobsmusic.com. This is Jed Distler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and I'm so glad that you are here with me this week for Between the Keys. I was reading a few years ago a really wonderful book by Malcolm Gladwell called Outliers, and the book discusses successful people not so much for what they do as from the vantage point of their culture, their family, the generation they come from, and the idiosyncratic experiences of their various upbringings. For example, the author talks about the Beatles and how their rise to a kind of unprecedented success in pop music came only after years and years of practice and performing, especially in the long nightly hours they put into playing in bars and clubs in their early days in Germany. I have always thought about outliers as people or objects that are atypical within a particular group or class or category. I suppose that a pianist can start off his or her career as an outlier, and then over time, the outlier becomes the norm, or at least more accepted or tolerated within a particular group. I'm not so sure that was the case of Percy Grainger, who achieved a lot of popularity in the 20th century's first four decades as both composer and as a pianist. Yet his exuberant and hard-hitting style of piano playing was angular rather than curvy, and, you know, it didn't really fit in within the Slavic Romantic traditions or the German or French schools. It sounded very much of its own kind. And also, Percy Grainger had this rather provincial habit of playing the final chord of a piece by repeating it quickly. So what I mean is, like, if a piece ends bum, bum, he would go bum, da-da. You hear that repeated da-da. He does that in the Chopin B minor sonata. We're going to hear the finale with Percy Grainger at the piano, and you will quickly understand what I mean. The finale of Chopin's Piano Sonata No. 3 in B minor, Opus 58. That was a 1925 recording with pianist Percy Grainger, a pianistic outlier, if there ever was one. You know, I had not seen the Oscar-winning movie The Green Book when this friend of mine told me that The Green Book was all about the pianist Don Shirley and his travels in the South. And when I heard that, I kind of freaked out because I actually knew Don Shirley. He was a family friend. It got me thinking that he also was a kind of pianistic outlier and that Don Shirley's style reflected a thorough classical training, yet he primarily played his own intricately worked out arrangements of popular songs. And these arrangements never were flashy, but they were consistently intense. And his aesthetic circled around jazz without ever really being jazz. There was virtuosity, but not in the superficial and flashy way that you would associate with so-called popular piano stylists like, let's say, Roger Williams or Carmen Cavallaro. So why don't we listen to Don Shirley play his arrangement of David Raskin's popular song Laura. First, let's hear just a little bit of Le Gibet from Maurice Ravel's Gaspard de la Nuit, just to get a frame of reference for what Don Shirley's going to do. And now here's Don Shirley playing Laura. That was David Raskin's popular standard, Laura, arranged and performed by Don Shirley. The pianist and composer Denman Maroney is celebrating his 70th birthday this month. He's a remarkable pianist on several levels. First of all, Denman has worked a great deal developing extended techniques and ways of playing inside the piano, as well as controlling multiple strands of independent rhythms with incredible assurance and precision, we're going to hear an excerpt from one of Denman Maroney's solo piano concert recordings right now. Let's listen.
Thank you.
pianist and composer and improviser Denman Maroney in an excerpt from a solo piano concert, which gives you a taste of how he combines multi-textural polyrhythmic playing with extended piano techniques. We will hear more of his music later on, but let's go to a pianist who is every inch the outlier, both as an interpreter and for her platform manner. I'm talking about the Soviet pianist Maria Yudina. A great personality always comes through her performances, even though she may not play exactly what the composer wrote in terms of phrasing or dynamics or tempo. Listen to this live performance of the finale from Mozart's Sonata in A Minor, Kürschel 310. Have you ever heard it played so fast? Here's Maria Yudina. Maria Yudina recorded live in 1951 at the Moscow Conservatory in the finale from Mozart's A Minor Piano Sonata, Kürschel 310. Very exciting as piano playing goes, but is that really what Mozart wanted? Well, I think Mozart maybe would have cracked a little smile, but who knows. After the American composer Conlon Nancarrow exiled himself to Mexico City in the 1940s, he began to compose a long series of studies for the player piano. He developed a compositional style incorporating elaborate and complex rhythmic writing that would be all but impossible for human hands to execute, yet more than possible on the player piano. And transferring his notation to piano rolls involved punching holes into the rolls by hand, and this process for Conlon Nancarrow was amazingly laborious and time-consuming. You know, it could take a whole year for Nancarrow to punch a roll containing a study that lasted just a few minutes. Here is the study number 17 for player piano. This is music of Conlon Nancarrow. From Conlon Nancaro's Studies for Player Piano, that was the study number 17, recorded in 1977 on one of his custom-built Ampico player pianos. My name is Jed Disler. I'm the artist in residence for the Classical Network, and we are celebrating outliers this hour on Between the Keys. Probably the most outlier-y of outliers in the jazz world was the composer, pianist, and bandleader Thelonious Monk. He worked very, very hard to achieve a style of playing that cannot be mistaken for anyone else. It's full of jagged rhythms. He has a harsh yet penetrating sound that has a lot of variety in touch and in nuance and in voicing. And his sense of timing and articulation hits you over the head as you listen. It certainly does for me. And I would like you to hear how Monk completely transforms and reshapes Johnny Green's great standard song, Body and Soul, into something completely original.
Thank you.
Thelonious Monk recorded in 1962 his very individual reshaping of Johnny Green's great standard, Body and Soul. Now here is one of the classical piano world's most fascinating outliers, Ervin Nyíregyházy. He was born in Budapest in 1903, and he died in 1987. He started off as one of the most remarkable child prodigies ever documented. There was even a book written about him during his childhood. Yet after he arrived in New York in the early 1920s, Nyíregyházy's career began to derail due to a number of factors, including mismanagement and also considerable personal problems that involved extensive drinking and sexual entanglements. Nyíregyházy was married no less than 10 times, believe it or not. When Nyíregyházy was rediscovered in the early 1970s, he had not owned a piano for years, and he was living, as he usually did, in cheap hotels. And it's safe to say that the freewheeling and rhapsodic style of his youth had taken on monumental, exaggerated proportions at the time of this 1972 concert that took place at the Century Club in San Francisco. As you will hear in this, shall we say, rather drawn-out performance of Chopin's C sharp minor mazurka, opus 6, number 2. It's kind of like a two-ton gorilla at the piano, but it's absolutely fascinating. Thank you. Yow. That was the Chopin Mazurka, Opus 6, Number 2, drawn out to amazing proportions by Irvin Nirachazi, live at the Century Club in San Francisco in 1972. He was a remarkable child prodigy, actually, and basically he lived out most of his adult life on Skid Row, yet the force of his personality and the huge sound that he could get out of the instrument made a big impression on many musicians. Emmanuel Segue Mariam Guebru was born in 1923, and apparently she still is with us at the age of 95. She was born in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. She became a nun at the age of 19, and she lives in Jerusalem. Her compositions and her piano playing reflect both the classical training that she had in her youth with traditional Ethiopian music and the modal language of plainchant. Very curious yet compelling combination of styles. Let's listen to an original composition of hers called the Jordan River Song. The Jordan River Song, composed and performed by Emmanuel Segue Mariam Guebru, an Ethiopian nun who is a composer and pianist living in Jerusalem. She's around 95 years old, I believe. We are exploring outliers this hour on Between the Keys. Outliers construct their own musical worlds, and that's what we have to reckon with. These unique musical worlds can be confrontational, they can be challenging, they can make you scratch your head, but they can also inspire you. So let's get back to the music of Denman Maroney, who celebrates his 70th birthday this month. This is an original composition called A Thought Revolved. He creates long asymmetric lines that dart back and forth like a firefly that refuses to be caught by human hands. Let's listen. Composer and pianist Denman Maroney. That was a piece entitled A Thought Revolved. If you think that Denman Maroney sounds like a firefly, how about a swarm of pianistic mosquitoes, figuratively speaking? Here's another one of Conlin Nancarrow's studies for player piano. Study number 28 for player piano by Conlin Nancarrow, recorded in 1977 on one of the composer's custom-built Ampico player pianos. Let's return now to one of the legendary Soviet pianists of her generation and a genuine interpretive outlier, Maria Yudina. Let's just say that no one plays the Brahms waltz in A-flat quite like she did.
Thank you.
That was a rather dramatic reading, if you will, of the Brahms Waltz in A-flat with pianist Maria Udina. Next, we have music by Kakoshwu Shapurji Sorabji. He may have been the ultimate outlier among composers who specialized in writing for the piano. He composed some of the longest and most complex piano works in the history of planet Earth. For decades, he actually prohibited performances of his music, but he gradually relented in the 1970s when he realized that pianists such as Michael Habermann, who we're going to hear right now, could completely master as well as internalize his most difficult scores, such as this rather elaborate pastiche based on Chopin's Minute Waltz.
Thank you.
Music of Sarabji, his pastiche on Chopin's Minute Waltz. And how on earth did Michael Haberman not only learn all of those notes, but also figure out how to balance Sarabji's complex textures and polyrhythms? I think I have the answer to that. He practiced and practiced and he 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 practiced. In many ways, Michael Haberman is as much an outlier as Sarabji was himself, totally devoted and committed to the musical world that he created, and being true to himself without any compromise. And I think that these words apply to all of the pianists and creators that we've heard this past hour on Between the Keys, celebrating the piano world's great outliers. I see that we have a little bit of time left over, so let's begin where we started this hour with the pianist and composer Percy Grainger. This is Country Gardens. Percy Grainger, the composer and pianist, playing his own work, Country Gardens. That used to be incredibly popular. I think it still may be. And that was his recording from 1927. Oh, you know, I should have included Glenn Gould. I mean, he was definitely an outlier, and so is Cecil Taylor. But I still think we had a pretty good representation. This is Jed Disler, artist in residence for the Classical Network, and I thank you so much for listening this week. I hope you will join me again next week at this time for Between the Keys. This program is an exclusive production of the Classical Network and WWFM.org.